The world didn't give it to me, this joy I have. The world didn't give it to me, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can't you feel that tonight? What a wonderful feeling it is to be in the body of Christ, to feel His Spirit. Is there anywhere else you'd rather be tonight? Anything else you'd rather be doing than to be in the presence of the Most High God? To be in His presence, to know that we have an opportunity to get closer, to know Him intimately. What a wonderful blessing it is. I don't think, ask Brother Durham, I don't think that Brother Smith remembered to mention it today, but Jennifer and I were in Lone Oak. Our little niece, Abigail, was getting dedicated, so we wanted to be there in their service and appreciated some of the things that I had the opportunity of hearing. You know, I've been taught, being a part of this group of people, you know, to listen with that ear, to see if you can't glean something, to get some nuggets. And I appreciated some of the things that were said today in that assembly that I was in. And I was, you know, I was looking. I was trying to listen. Where, you know, Lord, is this maybe one of your churches that will be brought into the body of Christ as things happen? And I was just trying to see, you know, where are they at today, Lord? And what something I was really thankful for was that I had a knowledge enough to know to look. I realized that there was a difference. Going in there, it's just not, you know, I'm not, as it says in Proverbs, I'm not unaware. I'm not going in and not knowing where I'm sitting. I know where I am today. I know in God, and I'm not saying as far as in my own personal spirit, God knows my heart. I'm saying, though, I know what group of people I'm amongst. I know where God has allowed me to be today, to where I can come in here and lift up my hands and thank the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty today. And I appreciate that. There's no shackles on my arms. There's nothing, you know, I have been, you know, I know we're very cautious in quoting the Bible to not try to change things. You know, a lot of people say, you know, set free versus made free. But I understand if you say set free, I have been set free. I don't have to lead that life anymore. I've been set free in God. He's making me free, more free each day. As I yield more over to that wonderful Holy Ghost that's inside me. And I want to thank the Lord. I appreciate so many things that I've had the opportunity of hearing lately. And then while Brother Smith has been coming here and now in taking on the role that he has in relation to, I want to give more thought to that perfect being that is within inside me. That Holy Ghost, you know, I'd never heard it like that before. And it was such a wonderful, now the word has escaped me. It's basically, it was enlightening to me from the standpoint of, I don't have to perfect that. That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's God's Spirit dwelling within me. Yeah. I just need to get out of the way and let it have its perfect work within me. That's all. I just need to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost, because it's God's Spirit. What can I do to perfect God's Spirit? Nothing. There's nothing I can. If I put my hands to that, I'm putting man in there. I'm putting Phil in there, and that will mess everything up. But if I can just get out of the way and say, Lord, I am a willing vessel today to get up. And if it was only to raise my hands and to lift up His name and to glorify Him, well, thank the Lord I have a chance, Sister Dolores. I can go back there and say, hey, I'm opening the door in the house of the Lord. Woo! I'd rather be in here doing that. I served the world for a time. But like I said, I got paroled. The Lord said, come on in here, boy. Let me show you a better way. Let me show you something to really get excited about. It's not about a pigskin full of hot air. No, it's about the Almighty God who is worthy to be praised. And it's not just about, oh, let's just get excited. But there's something to get excited about. This is real. What is there out there? Can anyone here tell me, what is there that's out there that won't break down, won't rust, won't deteriorate? Tell me. What is there in this world? Nothing. Nothing. Anything, you know, God created man upright, but He has sought out many inventions. He's tried to fill that hole that's there when God's not there, but it's all going to vanish away. It's nothing. You know, I don't want to lay my treasures up here, but I want to lay them up there where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal, Sister Tally, but where God reigns supreme, where I have that relationship with Him, and I don't even have idea, even a glimpse of what it's really going to be like. I mean, can you put your mind around that when we are ruling and reigning with Christ? When there's no sin, when sin is not reigning in the world? When there's no pain, no anguish, no sorrow? But when God on high, there's no need for the Son because God is the Son of the world? What a glorious day that will be, Brother Durham. What a glorious day, and I look forward to that. And I don't want to sell this. I don't want to say, you know what, thanks, God, but no thanks. You know, I see this great plan you have out there, but I'd rather just goof off for about 40 years and call it a day, Sister Cindy. That's what I'd rather do. I would rather spend my wills and do my thing in this world, accumulate a little wealth, and then die. Hey, you know, at least I have the knowledge and understanding. I'm not going to burn, pop, and sizzle forever in the Burger King grill. I'll just be gone. Okay. I'm one of those analytical people to a fault. And my wife can attest to that. I like to weigh things out. Do I want to spend 40 years doing my own thing, trying to accumulate what this world has to offer, and then be done? Or do I want to say, Lord, this isn't my home. I'm just temporarily here. I'm just making that path. I'm just walking that path that you've shown. I've got my backpack on with the necessities you've given me, and I'm heading for that heavenly home. I'm heading for a different destination where it's not going to fade away, where my reward is eternal, where I have an opportunity to be with Him forever. And the sky is not even the limit. What's the limit with God? Would any of us want to limit God? What is out there for us? I leave that to you, but I want to say in my heart that with God's help, I'm making my mind up today who I will serve. I want to serve the Lord today. I want to put my all into that life. I'm not investing in a 401k. Okay, potentially I am, okay, because, you know, you got to rule. I'm not trying to lie on that. I'm saying, though, that's not my focus, okay? I want to put my focus on investing where it counts. I want to put my money, my resources into an account, the Sister Crow, that it, every time I put it in there, it doubles, it triples, it quadruples, because you can't outgive God. So I wanted to get up here, not just, you know, Brother Durham, he saw what he needed to do, because I was like, all right, you know, ooh, come on, ready to get up there. Oh, come on, come on. And he just went, kink, and boom, then I was there. I appreciated that, you know. He thought he was like, touch, and I was there. So sometimes you need motivation. You don't have to slap somebody. It's just, you know, or it just depends. You know, sometimes he might have to smack me in the back of the head. But I just appreciate being here. You know, it's good. I appreciate what our brothers and sisters have that are not here with us yet. That's what I want to say. They're just not here with us yet. There's brothers and sisters who have the gift of the Holy Ghost just as I have in my life. They just haven't made it this way yet. But, you know, I don't want to take for granted what I'm being given today. I don't want to be the one in that parable where it talks about the man said, hey, Brother Wallace, would you work for this penny here? You know, you're starting at this time of the day. And then the next comes along and someone else, and they give that penny. And I'm picking on you, Brother Wallace. I know, I'm sorry. But we're good friends. We used to dance together all the time here in church. And he gets another penny. And then someone else, he gets another penny. And then the last hour of the day, someone comes along and the good man says, hey, will you work for me? And it's just 1 hour is all he has to work. You know, I don't want to have that spirit of, hey, I've been here 10 hours and I get a lousy penny. And then someone comes in here and only works 1 hour. I don't want to have that spirit of, well, all right, I don't want that spirit. I want to have the spirit of, thank God I've been allowed, Sister Crow, to have been here and to have been a part, to help to get that foundation clear so that we can open our arms to the rest of our brothers and sisters who haven't made it this way yet. And I got that opportunity today. You know, sometimes it's good to see where you could be, where you might have been, and to realize where you are and how blessed and how thankful I should be, and how it's more precious than rubies, than gold, than all of the truly. It's easy to say, but it really to put it into thought and to realize I have been given such a blessing. Everyone within the sound of my voice has such an opportunity today, and I don't want to take it for granted. And it is worth yelling and getting a little excited about, because there's nothing else. Let me say it again. There's nothing else in this world that's worth getting excited about. Nothing you can sell me, nothing you can give me is going to sustain me. It might for an hour, it might for a day, but it's not going to sustain me. It's not going to sustain my soul. It's not going to give me life. God is the giver of life. And I want to lift him up and realize, Lord Almighty, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to be given a vision of the body of Christ. I don't want to count that for naught. The minute I start counting it for naught, then you won't have to hear my loud, obnoxious voice anymore, because I won't be here. Because I've already walked that path before. But God gave me an opportunity to at least say, all right, son, for whatever reason, when you were a kid, you always loved the song, Remind Me, Dear Lord. So, dear Lord, what did the Lord have to remind me of? Nothing, you know. I was a kid, but for whatever reason, that song touched me. Well, you know what? Now that song, much to my chagrin, it does have more meaning to me, because I know where I have been. I know where I could be. I could be in that grave. You know, every time my mom tells her testimony about when she came to the realization that she had me in the wrong place in her life, and she realized, well, God, if it takes Philip the next time I see him coming in this church, you know, laying flat, I don't like that testimony. All right? I didn't know about it at the time. I didn't realize, you know, so that put me, I'm thankfully that I didn't have that hard of a head that God couldn't deal with me, because I would have preferred not to come in here that way. But I realized what she had to go through. And if it's okay, Brother Durham, I wanted to give a little bit of my testimony. Not the part that everyone is familiar with, or most people here, in relation to when I left church. But it was a little bit different. You know, my parents, and my mom can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe somewhere around 1970, I was born in 76, and around 1978, 79, they left. They were no longer a part of this church. For their reasons, I was a small child. So I grew up for the first part of my life not being a part of this church. The opportunity I got a chance to be here was with my grandparents, Brother Dodson and Sister Dodson. And I'm thankful that there was still someone here, and that relates back to the other part of my testimony, there was still someone here when some of us were weak, some of us were strong. And they were continuing on the road, even though some were straying behind, they were continuing on. And I got a chance to, when I got to come to church, I mean, it was wonderful. It was great as a child. I mean, My grandmother did her very best to keep me occupied, to, you know, listening. Here I'm 4 and 5 years old, and I can remember, and Brother Talley, you know, you and Brother Weinger and my uncle are one of the ones I can remember, not here, in the old church, when all the men would start to dance. Let me tell you, that floor would start a rocking, literally. I mean, it was just moving up and down, and I didn't think of it at the time, but that truly built faith in them men, because they didn't know if the floor was going to collapse or not. But when they're all up there, and then, you know, you're a small child. I was up in there, and I'd get in the middle of them. And I didn't have to move, Sister Cindy. I could just stand there, and I'm still, wow, this is neat. You know, it was like a built-in trampoline. And Brother Mike Crafton, he remembered. Brother Crow will remember. You know, it was a wonderful experience to get a chance to grow up in that. But it wasn't a major part of my life at that time. But I'll tell you something. I had the opportunity to be a part of this school. And I can remember, and this is when Sister Tally was one of my main teacher, and she would ask the kids, and a majority in the class were from church, and she would ask them, well, you know, what did you do over your winter break or so-and-so? And a lot of times it related to, we had meetings during a lot of those times. And I'd hear my peers at that time talking about, well, I got a chance to work, you know, in the sanitation department, or I got a chance to, you know, got a chance to touch God and receive the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, that was something I didn't have, and that put something in my heart that, oh, Lord, I'd like that opportunity. I would like that. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You know, he hears even the cry of a small child. And I would pray that my mom and dad would come in church. You know, I didn't know what that really meant. I didn't know the dedication it would require or the different lifestyle changes, but I knew there was something missing. I knew something wasn't right. And one summer, my grandparents took me and my uncle on a two-week vacation, and we're traveling, and we finally make it back home. This was after 2 weeks' time. And it was a very interesting night. We get home, and there were no cell phones at that time. For those young people, there were no cell phones, not even the ones that looked like big walkie-talkies. Nothing, okay? If you had a cellular phone, it meant it was hooked into your car, and you were rich if you had one of those, okay? So we're, using the old rotary. That's what my grandma had, old ugly peach 70s model. And we called, this is a true story, okay? We called my mom and dad, and there was no answer. And so then we lived at University Inn, townhouses, and my mother worked as a night auditor at the motel part of it. And we called up there. I knew everyone up there since she had worked in it. So I called, and this lady named Dorothy answered, and I, here I'm a little kid. I'm about 9 years old, and I'm Dorothy. Where's my mom and dad? And she said, they're at church. And do you know what my response was? Let me tell you, this is the mindset. All right, I'm not telling my mom and dad, but you know what I said? I said, who died? Because that was the only time I knew what my mom and dad would say. Like, well, it's not a wedding. They don't have weddings this time of night. Who died? I mean, what's going on? I don't know. And she's like, no one. And so I got off the phone, and I was like, Grandma, Grandpa, I don't know what's going on. My dad and mom went to church, and and they're, Ernest, what's wrong? Oh, what do you think happened? Y'all don't know my grandma, y'all. That was a pretty good impersonation, wasn't it? And so we were all, here we are, like I said, there were no cell phones, and you didn't call and bug the people at church, so we're all sitting there just like wringing our hands. And I didn't even know what I was ringing them about. I was just like, something's different. I don't know. So they get home, and mom and dad begin to relate a testimony of what had happened while we were away. And God had started working in their life to bring them back into the body of Christ. And that's when my life truly changed at that time. I got an opportunity to then come down in here and sit and learn things that I didn't know were even available to me. I got a chance to hear the good word of God. And there's a difference in hearing the good word of God because it takes root. It takes root in your heart, and it plants something in you, whether even you realize it or not. And so for years, then after that, I think that December... thank you, Mom. My grandpa was in the hospital. I remember that. And all I can remember is Brother Wayne McGowan getting up and talking about different things. Here I am now. I'm 10 at that time. I'm 9 at that time. It doesn't take a lot to prick the heart of a 9-year-old in relation to he didn't have to tell me about all, like I said, my long list of sins, because it was like, okay, all right, so tell you, I might have cheated once. On a test. So see, I had to repent for that. Those type of things though. So, but it was something I could tell I was missing. I knew I wanted that Holy Ghost. I didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know what it was really for. But a lot of my friends had it, and it seemed to make them happy. So he called an altar call. I went up, and I had tried to tarry for it before. And I'd gotten close, but I don't even really remember trying hard that night. All I remember is just coming up, them laying hands on me, and then I just remember speaking in tongues. I just remember God filling me with the Holy Ghost. A 9-year-old child desiring a closer walk with God and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can remember being so overwhelmed. I could not speak English anymore. Tyler's my teacher. I went to her, and I'm like, ha, I'm speaking in tongues. And it's like, well, that's what I just said. I don't know what I'm saying, but, And she was like, oh, you sure are. Even though I didn't say that, she knew what I was saying. And it was such a great experience. I was going around to tell everybody, just pointing. Because, I don't know what I'm saying. It's so neat. And then, and I will never forget this. And these are the memories that you get a chance to make when you're a part of God's kingdom. We had dinner days then. I think that's actually the fifth major doctrine that's really not listed in the Bible, but it's an unspoken doctrine in the body of Christ. You must eat. So we went downstairs for potluck, and I just can remember eating chicken and still speaking in tongues. So as I'm gnawing on that bone, it's like my lips are going and I'm eating on chicken. And I'm like, this is like heavenly chicken. It's the best chicken. Colonel Sanders, no, nothing. This is great. It was so wonderful to have that. And I will. Those are memories I will cherish forever. You know, hey, when I get to heaven, I get to sit down with Peter. But I ate heavenly chicken, Peter. That was neat. So, and I had the opportunity to grow up here after that point and learn about God's word. But then along the line, I started learning what to say and not what to do. This is my own personal testimony. Because I heard many great things, and I got a chance to watch and see, okay, well, if I, you know, pat my foot three times, put my hand up and say hallelujah, everything is fine. You know, this is my mindset as far as I wasn't really connecting anymore. And I started growing cold, and I started searching for other things, searching for other ways to entertain myself. And it's a dangerous thing to do. God is that, there's that emptiness that's in us because Adam and Eve, when they made that mistake, they put that divide between man and God. And when we get the Holy Ghost, we begin to fill that void back up. But I can speak for myself, you can easily pull back away from that. And you can start trying to put other things in its place. And that's what I started doing. And so though I didn't leave right away. I mean, that started happening probably when I was 15 or 16. I didn't physically leave this building and not come back until I was 21. But mentally, I had been gone for 3 years from here. I was here physically. I went to youth meetings. I went through the motions. And I can tell you, I know most people, 90% were blown away when I left because I seemed like I was here. But my heart wasn't here. And I can't, no one, there's not a person here. Oh, you know what? There's plenty of hurts. If you stay around here long enough, that everyone knows, you're going to get hurt. Your closest family members are going to hurt you. Those in the ministry somehow are going to say something that's going to offend you. It wasn't about anyone else. It was about me. It was about mistakes I made, about decisions I made in my life to go another route. It wasn't anyone here. No one here, no one that is not here currently. It was my own fault. And I decided to go another way. And I counted God's blessings. I counted his riches. I counted them as naught. I became that prodigal son because I said, you know what, God? You've blessed me. You heard the pleas and the cries of a small child. You helped me. You gave me the Holy Ghost. You touched my heart. You lifted my parents up into a better way. But that's not really important. I'd rather take control of my life for a while and see if I can't do things a little better than you, God. And with that attitude, I left. And for the next practically 3 years, I sunk deep into debt. I ended up having, at that time, a major broken heart, if you will. I had physically, mentally, monetarily, I was in debt when God started dealing with me again. When I left, I had no debt. I was free as far as the world was concerned. I was scot-free. I was just high on life. But then when God started dealing with me again, I had sold everything he had, and just like that prodigal son, I had nothing. I had what the pigs have to eat. That's what I had left in my life. But thank the Lord, there's mercy. Thank the Lord, his mercy endureth forever. Now, we know that ever doesn't, it does, there's a day that's going to end, but it hasn't ended today, people. It hasn't ended today. That mercy is still there. And we know there's so many in this church that have loved ones that are still out there, that still haven't had that opportunity to make it back this way. But let me just tell you, there's hope. What does the Bible say? It says that he will not quench a smoking flax or bruise a bruised reed. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, though, God, if there is a way to save, he's going to save. I want to lift my hands up in prayer for my brothers and sisters that are not here today. I want to lift them up. I know my God can restore them. It doesn't matter, Sister Dolores. We can see Sean back in here. He has a good heart. He is a good young man. And he had these things planted in his heart. and they will not let him rest. They will torment him until he is coming running back in here and grabbing your neck and saying, you didn't quit praying for me. I appreciate that. As if anything I can say here tonight is, let's not forget those. Let's not forget our brothers and sisters. Not any last one of them. Not any last one of them. You know, in the military, the Rangers, their motto, you don't leave a man behind. Well, let's have that same motto today. We're not leaving a person behind. If God will make it happen, let's have all our brothers and sisters back in here. Let's open our arms up. Whether they've been here before or whether they come from the world and they've never had this way, they've never known a single thing about God, I want to open my arms, because let me tell you, y'all did to me. When I came back in here with that yellow hair and with those earrings, when you could have pointed at me, when you could have condemned me, you could have said mean things at me, what did you do? You opened your arms and said, hey, we never stopped loving you. We were always praying for you. When I asked, told Brother Daniels that day before he left, I said, Brother Daniels, pray for me. And he just turned to me, and so matter of fact, it was like, Phil, we never have stopped. Let me tell you how much that means to a sin-sick soul. It's like someone having that life preserver, and you're out there in that deep end, and them going, I'm throwing it to you right now. All you got to do is just accept it. Just grab onto that life preserver and come on. Come on. Come along with us. Let's go. So I just wanted to share my testimony tonight. I just wanted to share what God has brought me through and how he's lifted me up and how blessed I am today. Sister Loris, I came back in here with nothing, and now I have a wonderful wife that I've been blessed with. I have beautiful children that God has blessed me with. This natural world, I have those things. I have a wonderful job. But more importantly, I have God back in my life. I have him leading me again. If I just submit to him and say, Lord, I'm following you. I'm following you. I'm following this ministry. As they follow you, I follow them. So I just want to get up here and say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. A place that I can jump up and praise him. I can thank him with all my heart. I don't have to worry about anyone condemning me. I don't have to worry about someone saying, why are you praising God? What are you doing? Don't you know there's a certain way? This is the way. This is the way of surrender. This is the way of salvation. Yeah, it's lifting my hands and saying, God, have your way in my life.
Thank you.
Singing, oh yes,
Rejoice, rejoice.
Always.
and they become real, well, they'll get down in your soul. I was thinking about that song, The Mercies, too. I read something the other day. Maybe Brother Durham was teaching on it or something. He read a part in Ephesians 4. They're about the fivefold ministry. It said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edification of the body of Christ. And it went on down and said some other things. And then I hit a snag. And it said, until the full measure of the... Let me read that, see if I can remember. I don't want to be quoted as saying that God lied. I want to be... I guess it's all right to kind of quote the Bible and say it, and that's all right. That's okay, you know. But it was talking about until we come to the full measure of Christ. Yes. And I thought, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. Here I am, 50 blah 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 years old, and I said, man, I've been mean ever since I was a little kid, you know, and so I don't have very much longer. You're going to have to really work on me to get me up to the measure of you. Because, man, he went around doing a whole bunch of things that I couldn't even begin to do. And then God began to start showing me that imputed righteousness, you know, and the things that we are going to be. And, you know, he imputed righteousness to Abraham because he had faith in God. And then it said, woe is the man that God imputes sin unto. And I thought, God, I don't want to be in that category. Help me to do the best I can. Brother Brett said something the other night. Of course, he was talking about a different area, about giving to the Haitian people. And I've been trying to watch that closely. And, oh, I tell you what, sometimes I just almost bust out and just start crying. You know, and I thank God. He said we can only just do so much, you know. We can only do all we can do. And the rest is up to God. And the same holds true with the way we live for God. I believe that we all are doing the best we know how. I believe that God imputes the difference in us until we become closer to God, that he does impute that righteousness unto us. Because that's where his mercy is at. And so I remember, as a little child, I remember going to school, and there used to be two ladies that came, and we looked forward to that so much. I can't remember. I think it was in the eighth grade when I left there or something, but there was two missionaries came, and they would bring their storyboards, and they would tell us about God. They would put up the little pictures, you know, of some disciple, you know, or I remember explicitly about a story about them walking on the road, and there was a man that had been beat by thieves, and this man took him in and took him home, or he took him to an inn, and he gave the man so much money, and he said, I'm on a journey. He said, when I return, if there's any more to be done for this gentleman, when I get back, I'll pay it. The Good Samaritan. And that stayed with me ever since I was a little boy. You know, those days are gone. Those days when ministers can come into a school and teach about God, that's gone. But I appreciated those women so much that they that they instilled in me something about God. That they put something not only in my heart, but I believe that they put something in every child that was there sitting and listening to those two women telling about God. And they would come in and tell stories every month about things that Jesus done for his people. And I thank God that I was there to listen to those stories, because it's instilled something in me that has stayed with me throughout the rest of my life. I may have strayed from God a number of times, but I begin to find out sometimes we don't fall out in sin. Sometimes we just starve to death and we just fall away from God. But I feel like in here, in the body of Jesus Christ, there's plenty to eat. There's plenty to eat here. I know, because I've heard a lot of the ministers get up and talk and say things, and it sticks with you. But I'm thankful to be in the body of Christ. I'm thankful for being under a ministry that I can trust. It's okay to, like Brother Durham was saying the other day, you know, and he was saying today too, about obeying the ministry and things, and that's good. But at the same time, it's okay to say, God, show me and help me realize where I want to put my trust in, because this religious world out there is out to get you. It's out to milk you forever, dime you, God, and your life also. And so, but I believe in here, in the body of Christ, that's not that way. I believe these ministers here are can't you just feel the way that they talk? They say, if I ever leave this, don't follow me. Or if they say, I'm trusting God to show you. You know, I'm trusting God that, and so they might say that there are leaders, but they're just a little ways out in front of us. You know, a leader can't say, well, I'm a leader, but I don't know where my people are at. Where's my people? But I believe that the body of Christ, those leaders that we put our faith in, are dependent on God just as much as we are. And we depend on them to let God touch their minds and give us the things that we need. And I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't be here today. There's too many things out in the world that I like to do. And so, so God, I think, has, like I said before, stuck an awl in my ear and nailed it to the barn door. I want to be here. I was thinking about little David. He was, you know, I remember watching a movie about Jeremiah Johnson. He had first decided he wanted to be a mountain man. And so he went up somewhere and he met some mountain man, you know, and he said, you got to do this, this, and this. And he had visited him in his cabin. So one morning before he got up, he heard this mountain man out there just a laughing and a going on and carrying on and a running, and he goes to the door, and this mountain man comes a flying inside, and here comes this bear inside, and he jumps out the window, because just the day before that he asked him, can you skin a bear? And he said, yeah. So as he was jumping out the window, he said, skin that bear. Well, that's the way it's going to be sometimes with us. I think, man, this old sinful nature we got is a bear, and sometimes it jumps on us. So we just have to start skinning that thing, you know. And then, but I thought about David. You know, he was telling some of those that saw when he went to take